Blog Talk Radio.
Not too bad. Season 6, Episode 4, coming off a very big weekend for the Madden Boys. We certainly, the NFL draft, very exciting draft, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and the Madden Challenge. And we're going to get a recap of the Madden Challenge by our very own K-Star, who did not win at all. I shouldn't say that, though. I'm going to let him tell his story at some point tonight. But I do know the guy who won, and congratulations to Tyronto, who really, K-Star can give some background, but I know a little bit about the guy, and wow, I mean, I don't think anyone saw this one coming, so good for him. But anyway, May 1st, and the countdown begins. We are 4 months away from the start of the NFL season. Actually, 4 months in a few days. And how did your team do in the draft this weekend? What an exciting draft, especially the first round. Man, did anybody keep their pick? I mean, people were trading up, down, left, right, you know. And it's a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about some of the key things in the draft. I mean, you know, we come on Tuesday night, and so we're not going to recap the whole draft. I'm sure you guys are, you know, between NFL Network and ESPN and, you know, all the stuff, I'm sure you guys don't need to hear us recap everything that went on in the draft. But we're going to pick out a few things and give our thoughts on the draft. We're also going to talk about NFL Network recently released their top 100 players. And the one thing on that really jumps out at me, that really bugs me, that we're going to talk about. But also, you know, we'll take a look at a few of the other items on there. And take a look at what's going on with the Saints. We're going to take another look at that. So, a very exciting lineup tonight. And as always, I am joined by, first and foremost, you know, and I got to tell you, when I watched the draft, I couldn't help but remember the EAFL days and how the EAFL, the all-time greatest online Madden League ever assembled, revolutionary in many ways, often imitated, never duplicated, and we were the first team, or the first league, to do a live draft of teams, and we did it NFL style. And Train has got to remember how exciting it was. We have with us Dr. Train, who is just a few days away from being officially Dr. Train. But we have with us Dr. Train, EAFL Super Bowl I winner. And Train has got to remember our live drafts on America Online in the chat rooms and how exciting it was to have everybody. We did the show, and we had people drafting teams. And, man, Train, you remember those days?
Yes, man. Those days were very exciting. I mean, I look forward to them. It was like a big event.
It really was.
But, dude, thank you. It was huge.
It really was.
Everyone
was excited. You never know who was going to take what team. You know, you never knew. And already, as the draft was going, it was you were sitting there predicting who was going to be the Super Bowl champ already. You know, Bama got this team or whoever got that team. And, uh-oh, look out. What? You let that team go? You didn't take that team with the first pick? I mean, it was very exciting. So all you guys out there that run leagues, that think about, you know, you want to do something exciting. Do an online draft for your teams. Do it live. You know what I'm saying? And if you call me, if you call Commish T and you want some tips, I'll tell you what. If you want to do it, I'll give you some tips. And I might even think about putting it on the show. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
And just one quick tad bit was one of the most exciting things was to try to figure out who someone would draft based on their playing style of Madden. That was probably the most exciting thing about it.
Right. And then when that conflicted with their loyalty, then it was like, it was on, you know, it was on. Like, okay, they're a fan of this team, but their style is this team. The team they want to play with don't have that, you know, don't have the players to do that. So, oh, man, it was exciting. Anyway, speaking of Madden, we must bring on the other co-hosts. Madden Nation Season 4, one of the greatest Madden players ever play. Hopefully he still holds at least that title after this weekend, but we'll find out how he did. Because I really don't even know how he did, to be honest with you. I just know who won, but I don't even know how he did. But, you know, if you guys want to see what he looks like, just go on iTunes, Madden Nation Season 4. He is the very own K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Boys.
Glad to be here. No, where I still have that all-time greatness intact. I finished in top 10 rankings or at the tournament, so.
Cool. Yeah, because, I was ready for you to take it all, man. I was going to hit you up for a loan. You know, I was ready to get something. I was going to, you get 140 grand, brother could get, you know, 2 grand, something, you know, a couple of dollars. So, yeah, you know, well, that's his change, and you get that kind of money. But we're going to get there. We're not going to start. I know some people listening, they want to hear K-Star's recap. We're going to get to that. But we got to start with the event of the weekend. And even though the Madden Challenge is a big, huge event, the real event of the weekend, though, is the NFL Draft. And, you know, I usually wait to do T-Bonics. Okay, I usually decide to do T-Bonics later in the show. But you know what? I am so irritated by something. I have to start off the show with T-Bonics. And my two co-hosts don't even know what I'm irritated about. So they're going to get a chance. They're going to get a chance. I didn't even tell you guys. I didn't want to give you guys a heads up on it. Okay? I didn't want it. I want you guys to react to this cold, okay? You tell me what you think. But I need a couple minutes of T-Bonics. We're going to start off with T-Bonics, okay? Now, listen. I'm going to the Washington Redskins, okay? Washington Redskins arguably made the power move of the overall draft, okay, where they made picks in advance so they can get up to the number 2 pick. And I'll admit, I came on the air last show and said, do not be surprised if the Colts take RG3. They didn't. They came on a few days later, said, nope, we're taking Luck. I still thought maybe it was a smokescreen until the guy actually came on TV and said, no, we're taking Luck. I said, okay, they're taking Luck. So fine, I was wrong. And the Redskins took RG3, Heisman Trophy winner, number 2. No problem. Good pick. They you know, did a lot to get in position to take that pick. I had no problem with that. And I think, as Dr. Train mentioned in the last show, I think it really sets up the NFC East to be a very exciting league. Arguably, you will be tough to find 4 better quarterbacks than what you're going to see in the NFC East. So I think it was a great move. But someone has to help me understand why in the 4th round, why with the 102nd pick, they went and got, I can't remember the guy's name now.
Cousins.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on his name. I've been watching it for the last hour. Kirk Cousins. Is his name Kirk Cousins? I hope that's his name. Now I'm going to feel stupid if that's not his name, and I'm over here questioning the pick, and I'm going to feel stupid if it's not the name. Good thing with Kirk. Yeah, Kirk Cousins. Okay. 4th round pick, they take him. All right. Michigan State. Right. I was puzzled by that pick. I didn't like it. As a football fan, I was puzzled by it. They have RG3. They got Grossman as the backup, who has been a starter in this league. And they go in and get a 4th-round pick. And I said, why? I said, why? I don't get it. I don't care what. I've read all of you. You don't take a 4th-round pick and say he's your backup. That guy, I mean, he can compete for a starting job around the NFL. So I don't want to hear we picked him up to be a backup. He's a long – I don't want to hear that. I don't like the pick because to me it is completely disrespectful of your first pick. It is completely disrespectful. I'm going to tell you, I'm going on record now to say why they did it. They did it because RG3 is African American. That's why they did it.
Oh, wow.
Because this league still has a hard time accepting a talented African American quarterback can be your franchise player. This league has a problem with that. There is a stigma attached to that. And Shanahan, who I think is a great coach, and if this was his call, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I got a problem with it, and I think it was the wrong pick to make. I don't think, hey, you got Grossman as your backup. You got RG3 as the face of your franchise. And you bring in this guy in the fourth round, who was a pretty doggone good quarterback, won a lot of games. And you're going to tell me that you have all the faith in the world in RG3? You're going to tell me that you believe in the Heisman Trophy winner? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I wish I'd have chosen that as a topic for Dr. Strange.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was thinking this, and I said, maybe I'm wrong, right? That's what I said. I said, maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I turn on First Take, which I watch. I can't watch it live because we have a job. But I turn on First Take, and Skip Bayless, who I don't always agree with, comes out and says the same thing. I said,
"Are you serious?"
I said to myself, "I don't believe I'm sitting here hearing what I've been thinking." Now, Stephen A. And the old Jets coach there, Coach Mangini, ripped him apart and said, "You don't know what you're talking about." But he said it. Now, I don't know Skip Bayless. I don't know him from a hole in the wall. I know I'm broadcasting live from Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. But I am not affiliated with ESPN. I'm not connected with ESPN. They are a network. You're just a little small Madden Voice radio show. But he said what I was thinking. So I said, okay, I'm not crazy. People can agree or disagree. That's fine. I'm not crazy. Because he said exactly what I was thinking. So I got a problem with it. I don't like it. I think it's disrespectful. And I do think there's a race element to that pick. I do think that if they had gotten Luck, and if the Colts had taken RG3 and made me a profit, and the Redskins had gotten Luck, I would a reasonable amount of money on the fact that Cousins still being available, they wouldn't have taken him. They would not have taken him. And my last comment on it, and then I'll let you guys jump in, is Scott Parsons gets interviewed. Okay, I'm going to see if I can find it real quick because I think his quote was very interesting. I think his quote was very interesting. I don't know what the background music guys is, but somebody, one of the guys, man.
That ain't me.
That is my niece. I just picked him up from the airport. I'm trying to keep it as quiet as possible. I'm sorry.
but Cousins made a comment about how he is excited and he gets to play behind Rex Grossman and learn from him and that he'll get his opportunity. Said nothing about and being at RG3. Didn't even mention it.
Wow.
So, all right. I can't find the quote, but it was sometime today that he was interviewed, and I can't find it in spur of the moment. But didn't mention anything about, hey, I get to play with RG3. Nothing. So. All right, so
all right, let me get
okay,
on.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Cousins also said, I believe it was yesterday, that he's not competing against RG3. He's competing with RG3. So he did address the whole RG3 thing and that he's looking forward to making RG3 a better quarterback and himself a better one and just being ready whenever his time called with the Redskins, if it ever is. Now, this whole race thing, I mean, this is the first I heard of this. I didn't hear Skip Bayless, but I believe you yourself called him a shock type analyst last week, or a couple weeks ago. So I just want you to keep that perspective as far as trying the whole race thing, because, again, this is the first I heard of this. It never crossed my mind. The reason why I'm pretty sure that it was a dumb pick, first of all, let me just address the pick real quick. It was dumb. They have a lot of needs. But let's be honest, so at the end of the day, they trade 3 first-round draft picks and a second-round draft pick for RG3. They basically trade away years upon years of their franchise because they had that much faith in RG3. I just don't see that correlation there. To me, the reason why they took a fourth-round pick is because there's a prospect. He could be a good player. To me, they could trade him for some value, which a lot of teams are doing later, which a lot of teams have done lately in this league for pretty high draft picks. Aside from that, I'm not really sure why they had done that, because Rex Grossman's a decent backup at the very least. But to suggest it's racially motivated when they had traded 3 first-round draft picks and a second-round draft pick for RG3, that goes to show me that by doing so, all those trades that they made just to get RG3, that they have quite a bit of faith in him, if not more faith than they probably should, because that's a lot of draft picks and years that they gave up just for RG3.
I found the quote, by the way. And it says, let's see, Cousins told Patrick that he expected to be taken by either, this is not the quote, but this is by either Broncos or Eagles. So the host asked if he'd rather be backup to Peyton Manning or RG3. It's a good question. I've been trying to figure that out going through the process, but certainly I still have the opportunity to learn from a 9-year veteran in Rex Grossman. I think the situation I'm in it for a reason, so I've got to believe that being a Redskin is the best thing for me. Didn't answer the question, now did he?
No. And he probably doesn't even like the fact that he's picked at that spot. Because why would you want to be picked when you know that the team just took a quarterback at number 2, the number 2 overall pick? You know you're coming in as backup. You don't have a chance to compete for the starting job. Not this year, not the next year. Not ever, as long as the franchise, as long as they consider RG3 the franchise quarterback. Now, what I did read, I did some scouring of my own to try to understand that pick myself, and I saw the article they had on NFL.com saying that, you know, that they possibly took the pick as a means of possibly getting value for him down the line somewhere, maybe 2 years down the line. So I think that's a possibility. Now, what you're saying, T, as you said before you started, yeah, it's a shock. I wouldn't have thought that. But I did consider a pick some kind of lack of confidence in RG3 being your man, though. Not necessarily because of his color, but just maybe you think he might not be the guy at some point. There's some kind of inkling of doubt.
I cannot, and K-Star, to address what you said, I did say that, and I meant it. However, I prefaced this to this evening by saying I was thinking this, and then when I heard him regurgitate what I was already thinking, I mean, shock value or not, he repeated what was already on my mind. So we agree. So whatever the case may be, my point was, I'm not crazy. I'm not making this up. There's at least one other person out there who, you know, has an inkling of credibility in this industry, maybe more than an inkling, that stated what I was thinking. So that was the only reason I brought it up. I can't disconnect the fact that there's been a stigma around African-American quarterbacks and their limitations in the NFL with the fact that the Redskins may have not had the confidence in the number 2 pick Heisman Trophy winner that they should have had. I can't disconnect the two. And maybe I should, but right now I can't, based on the fact that they made that pick. I've never, ever heard a team make a pick in the draft and say, we're picking this person because we might trade him in a couple of years and he'll be worth something. I've never heard that.
But they'll never say that. They're never going to admit that anyway. So, I mean, really, they're not going to show their hand before they make that call. So I don't think that a team would actually hear a team publicly admit that regardless. But, I mean, let's be honest, though, that this league is just quarterback driven. So if they have a good, you know, backup who, if RG3 were to get hurt and show that he could play, they can drive that price up and, you know, get him for a good amount of draft picks. We saw Kevin Cobb get traded just a year ago for, I believe, a late second rounder, maybe even a first rounder. So it's not out of question. I mean, look, it's not out of question, but I still don't think the draft choice regardless was a good one. It didn't really make too much sense to me, but I guess, again, they traded so much for RG3. I guess I can't fathom how one can draw that conclusion that they don't have faith in him. When they did trade a ridiculous amount of draft picks and honestly mortgaged their future for RG3.
They did it to get the number two pick. Let's keep that in mind. And at the time, the Colts had not confirmed that they were taking Luck. The Colts did come out later after the Skins made their power move and said we're taking Luck. I think they said either way we'll be okay. It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere one day we find out they were hoping they could get Luck. Wouldn't surprise me.
What I've heard, they told RG3 that they would have taken him even if
they would take him first overall.
They told that to RG3.
Yeah, well.
That's why RG3 had his Redskins gear on. I mean, he even declined to work out with the Colts just so he can just have a prior workout with the Colts or about the Redskins. He had his Redskins gear on and everything already. So, I don't know. I just think that's
They turn around and take a pretty good quarterback in the fourth round.
And that's true, but I just don't see it being racially motivated at all.
I don't think that they're necessarily a bigoted organization or that this is a slight against African Americans in general. I'm sticking to the fact that the NFL for years has had a stigma and judged African American quarterbacks as athletes and not as quarterbacks. And when you hear RG3, what do you hear, right? What do you hear? The comparisons to Vic, the comparisons to Newton. Why isn't he being compared to Steve Young? Why isn't he being compared to Brett Favre? He was a mobile, agile quarterback. But no, immediately, because he runs a 4-3, it's Vic. You know? And so what I'm saying is there is a category that the NFL puts African-American quarterbacks in, and it's segregated by their race. They are judged a bit differently. Now, I think Cam Newton last year did some things to change that. But did you hear the hype last year? K-Star, you heard it. You already put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Okay. So because yeah. And you know why? Because he was African-American making those throws. He made throws that they didn't expect him to make because their expectations of this very good quarterback was still low. And he came in, Heisman Trophy winner. And he came in and did exactly what we knew he could do, and they said, "Oh my God!"
He didn't do exactly what we thought he would do. He pretty much shattered. He had the all time greatest rookie quarterback season ever. So, I mean,
statistically,
well, you're right statistically. But
a lot more
the thing with Cam Newton. Anyway, I disagreed last year when the reason why Cam Newton people were saying the reason why people are down Cam Newton is because he's African. I didn't see that. From what I was heard and reading, it was all football terminology. The fact that he had only been a quarterback for a year, he was in a spread offense. It was a very gimmicky offense. But what helped Cam Newton so much this year was they did run a spread offense in Carolina to accommodate Cam. That's not why he was successful, but I reject the notion that the reason why Cam, because at the end of the day, the Panthers drafted him number one overall. So obviously they didn't believe that him being African-American was now the lower expectation for him.
Star, with all due respect, every time the subject of race comes up, you reject it. And I think...
Because I think it's ridiculous in the tie-ish to suggest that quarterbacks
I think that you're very naive to ignore the reality of how African-American quarterbacks have been judged over the years. I mean, we can go to the Rush Limbaugh comment as a good example. You know, and Rush Limbaugh had just been hired to do NFL commentary and had to be let go. Okay, so someone thought that he had a good knowledge of the game, and then he comes out and makes that comment about Donovan McNabb, and then they had to let him go. So, and that's just one example. So, and the fact that we can go back 30 years and there are no starting black quarterbacks in the NFL 30 years ago. So what happened over the last 30 years? That all of a sudden we just learned how to play the position in a league that's been dominated by African Americans? There is something to that, K-Star. You cannot live in denial that has been an issue. African Americans have been told that We could run, but we couldn't make the passes, and we were not smart enough to understand the playbook. Those were the two knocks.
I've seen so many quarterbacks drafted high that have been African American, or since I've been watching football so closely, I guess I just from being back then, like it's not the 1970s anymore. You just see it all the time. Don McNabb, you know, Steve McNair, Dante Culpepper, like Jamarcus Russell was number one pick overall. Like I just reject that notion that African American quarterbacks recently have been slighted because they're African American. I mean, there's been so many people drafted high who are.
But they should have been drafted high. That's not because they were finally drafted where they should have been drafted is not validating your case, because finally some of the quarterbacks are getting the notoriety and attention that they should be getting based on their performance. That's great.
I think
he
just cut out. Yeah.
Oh man.
But I just don't see it. In this day and age, I don't see it anymore. I mean, I think at the end of the day, franchises want to win football games, you know? And whoever gives them that
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Finish your sentence.
Yeah, I just think in this day and age, franchises are more over just concerned about winning, so I don't know. I just, again, I haven't seen it. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, first pick overall. Cam Newton, first pick overall. RG3, second overall.
I have returned. I hope that this doesn't keep happening like it did last time. What I was trying to say to you is that, yes, over the last several years, we've seen some African-American quarterbacks drafted highly. They deserved it, though. It's not that they were given something that they shouldn't have got. They should have been drafted high. What I'm saying is that you can't ignore the history, you know, because, you know, just because the NFL now is starting to do some of the right things doesn't mean the history didn't happen, and it doesn't mean that there aren't still things that can't be challenged and questioned. And all I'm saying is that my feeling on this is that they went to get RG3, yes. They mortgaged their future to get him, yes. And then they turn right around and say, but just in case, let's go grab this guy. And I don't believe if it had been Andrew Luck that would have been the case. I still think there is something behind the fact that he's African-American, and African-American quarterbacks get judged a bit differently in the NFL. They get judged more as athletes and less as quarterbacks. So, anywho,
oh, wow.
Train, any last thoughts before we move on?
I mean, my last thoughts on it all, I mean, I had to agree with both of y'all to simply say that I didn't like the pick. I mean, for a team that was pretty much last in their division, you had a lot of the holes to fill. And if you do believe RG3 is your future, then you could have done anything else. Fourth is still considered a high draft pick. You know what I'm saying? Especially it's the first round of a new day. It's the first round on the last day of the draft. So you actually have a day to really look and see, you know, what's left and kind of plan out to make a really good solid pick, you know, on that day, you know, in that round. And your pick being a quarterback after you've already taken one, it's like, why so high? I mean, if you were just really looking for a backup, if you're really just trying to take a shot on a backup that maybe you want to groom, I would think you would be lower than fourth round. So I don't like the pick per se, and I think without the race involved, I just think it's a just in case on RG3. That's what the pick sounds like.
Yeah, and I would be interested to know how many people draft a Heisman Trophy winner in the top five picks and then go draft another quarterback just in case. I'd be curious to know that.
Right. I read a team that did that. Actually, I believe the Cowboys, though, Troy Aikman drafting the quarterback later in the round, and he was heckled for a couple of years. I
actually,
read about this.
Actually,
that was one of the teams that did it.
That was a supplemental draft. That was not a fourth round pick. It was a supplemental draft. And both quarterbacks were Caucasian, for the record. And it was the supplemental draft, so it wasn't even part of the regular draft. And it was a nightmare, as us Cowboy fans remember, because Jimmy Johnson and once again, pretty much you're validating my point. You go get a Troy Aikman, right? And then you go ahead and get another. Now, this guy was in the supplemental draft. Steve Walsh. He wasn't even in the regular draft, and they went and brought in another quarterback. Why? Now, I agree.
It doesn't make any sense. I just don't think it's racially motivated. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, regardless. At the end of the day, the draft pick doesn't make any sense. I agree with that.
And since no one can explain why they would do that, since the rationale of, well, they need a good backup, well, they got Rex Grossman, so this guy's going to come in and be a better backup than Rex Grossman, maybe in 2 years, right, but not this year. So why did you need him this year? If he's not going to compete for the starting job, which all indications are he's not, and it's RG3's job, then why? And since no one can give me, no one can say, here's why, then I'm left to wonder, we have all this faith in RG3, but just doesn't set right with me. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't set right with me. All right, speaking of the Cowboys. Did they not make arguably the power move of the live draft? We could say maybe the Redskins made the power move of the draft, but did the Cowboys not make, in my opinion, the power move of the entire draft? For those of you who don't know what they did, I'm going to just recap what they did. Cowboys were sitting with the 14th pick in the first round. And they actually traded up to get the 6th pick, and they threw in their second-round pick with the Rams. And at the 6th pick, they got Mo Claiborne, arguably the best quarterback in the draft, arguably the best defensive player in the draft. Most people had him as the number 2 overall behind Luck. A lot of people thought he could go as high as 3 behind RG3. And the Cowboys grabbed him at 6, gave up their second-round pick, got him at 6. Now, what a lot of people may not know is it was a verbal agreement early in the day that with the Rams that, hey, you know, if there's somebody we want, if they're still there, can we trade and get your pick at 6 and we'll give you a second-round pick? The Rams verbally agreed. Then when Stephen Jones made the call, who's Jerry Jones' son, vice president of player operations, made the call, the Rams tried to get like a 5th-round or a 7th-round pick. Stephen Jones said, hey, we already had a deal. We already had a verbal agreement. You're going back on your agreement? And then they said, okay, fine. So they got him. I had to think about this for a while. I really did, because I don't like giving up draft picks that high. The second-round pick's a pretty good draft pick. I thought about the season, and I thought about the problems that the Cowboys had. I thought about the double-digit leads that they gave up. I thought about Tom Brady coming down the field and winning the game. I just thought about how the defense just didn't do what everybody expected the defense to do, and a lot of it was coverage. You know, Cruz and all these guys from the Giants, and Terrence Newman is gone. They went out and got Brandon Carr, and now they brought in this guy who people are saying could be Revis-like. People are saying this could be the next shutdown corner in the NFL. So I think it was an incredible move. I'm ecstatic about it. I'm excited about it. I think and nobody knew this was happening. That's what Jerry Jones, man. That's why being a Cowboy fan is so lovely. It's so lovely because you have an owner who is not afraid. He is not scared. He's not conservative. He says, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And like it. So I loved it. I loved it. You guys have any thoughts on the Cowboys move? I loved it.
Yeah, I'm not going to blow up Jerry Jones because of the pick. I'm just going to blow up the Cowboys organization because of the pick. I think it was an awesome move. That guy is a ball player. As simple as that. He's a hard-nosed ball player. And considering some of the issues that, like you said, the Cowboys had last season defensively, considering the wide receivers that are now in your division, it makes sense to have two really good. It makes sense to have a good cornerback tandem. Now you got Brandon Carr and Mo Claiborne. I mean, I think it was awesome just to make sure you're able to stay competitive within your division. That was a good move in my opinion.
And for those of you who don't know, Michael Jenkins, who is also still on the Cowboys roster, entering the last year's contract, was a first-round draft pick. So that's three top quality cornerbacks for the Cowboys. Go ahead, Kaysler.
I was just thinking it was a great move for the Cowboys because this is what they coveted. They missed out on Nnamdi last year, and they were pretty upset by it. Rob Ryan, in that defense, he relies heavily on corners. You know, they play a lot of man-to-man coverage. They blitz a lot, much like his brother. And that's what they need. You know, they went ahead and signed Carr in the offseason. They still have Skandrick. They still have Jenkins. And now they have Mo Claiborne. It's supposed to be maybe next Revis. We'll ultimately see. But either way, that was a great pick for them because that's what they needed for their defensive scheme. So big up for the Cowboys there.
Should be really interesting. Yeah, they're going to see a lot of three wide.
And this to me, just they were very aggressive, I think, because, again, they missed out on Nnamdi last year. They were not about to let the elite corner prospect slip out of their hands again, especially with that defense they run. They needed that. So,
you know, one thing I do like about the matchup is that, you know, third round, I believe, the Giants turn around and take Reuben Randall.
Another receiver.
Wide receiver. Yeah, down at LSU. So now you talk about Morris Claiborne possibly lining up across from Reuben Randall. You know what I'm saying? And if he's able to catch on to the offense by the first game of the season, or even by the second game whenever they play down the line. So it's got an interesting storyline to it. I like it.
I do, too. I was ecstatic by it. And I just, you know, I think in the third round they took a defensive end who's a pretty decent pass rusher. His name escapes me, but, you know, and they needed that. There are two things that I think they really needed, they addressed. You know, I mean, they took a safety as well, but, you know, I think they really needed corners and they really needed pressure. I think, you know, whatever you want to say about the Cowboys offense, I mean, Romo, 102.9 quarterback rating, DeMarco Murray, I mean, he broke his ankle, but he was a beast. We already know what Miles Austin can do. Dez Bryant is emerging. Jason Witten, you know, Felix Jones. I mean, the offense is set. Okay, the offense can put points up there. The offense can score. They went and they addressed some of the offensive line issues. So they really didn't need to do much there. But the defense, I mean, you know, and it just didn't have playmakers. DeMarcus Ware, Sean Lee, Jason Ratliff, maybe Mike Jenkins, maybe Anthony Spencer. And then once you got past that, that was it. There were no playmakers. And the fact that they went out and got an impact player, you know, a guy that will start against the Giants. You know what I mean? A guy that he's going to come in and he's going to start. So you know he's on one end. You just paid Brandon Carr $50 million. I'm pretty sure he's on the other end. And since most teams come out with at least three wide, Michael Jenkins, first-round draft pick, and a warrior and a trooper in a pretty good corner, be our third corner? And no aging, hurt, injured, slow Terrence Newman? I like our chances. I like our chances. With better coverage, is Ware going to get 25 sacks next year? I don't know, but look out. You've been doing about 20 a year the last 3 years, so look out. With that said, let me allow you guys equal airtime, and let me start with K-Star. And let's talk about the Steelers, because from what I've read, many people are saying the Steelers arguably may have had the best draft. They didn't take any, you know, sizzling highlight, oh my God, I can't believe they did it players, but they took solid players. They took the high, you know, whoever was top on their board each round, they took them. And I'm hearing high grades for the Steelers draft. So, K-Star, why don't you talk a little bit about your Steelers?
I'm ecstatic with the Steelers draft. We finally addressed the thing I've been preaching about for years, our offensive line, through and through. We had the best guard drop to us, David DeCastro, who was projected to be a top 15 pick, but all the way to 24. The Steelers were even thinking about training up for him, but they sat there, and he luckily fell to us. So we got the best guard in the draft. We also got a left tackle, Mike Adams from Ohio State, who was actually a first-round grade talent-wise. The only reason why I fell to the second round to us was because, he went to Ohio State and he was involved in that whole money issue where he spent money on tattoos or whatever the case may be. And, you know, he had a first-round grade, and, again, he fell to us. And for years it's been our biggest problem, you know, protecting Big Ben Roethlisberger. Now we have arguably the best young center in the league in Marquise Pouncey, you know. We hopefully have David DeCastro turn into a great player as well, as he's again projected to be. Apparently, he has the highest grade since Alan Faneca at guard to come out the draft, which is very, very encouraging for us Steelers fans because we know how great he was for us. And Mike Adams could be a franchise tackle, so we're very ecstatic. And last year we even drafted Marcus Gilbert in the second round, who turned out to be a very good rookie tackle for us. So we finally look like we're turning the corner up front, and that is so huge for us. Big Ben needs the time. He's been crippled or beaten. He's just turned 30 years old. So I'm just ecstatic. We drafted some other guys as well. We drafted running back out of Florida in the fourth round. What's his name? Something Rainey. He's a fast little beast, apparently. And he also had character issues. We usually don't draft guys with character issues. His name's Chris Rainey. But obviously, you know, Mike Tomlin leading the ship, I think that they'll be okay. And I'm just really excited that we finally, our biggest Achilles heel looks like it's finally been corrected. And I'm ready, man. And we still have Mike Wallace. He didn't go nowhere. It's looking good in Steel Town, baby. Yes.
All right. We'll see you in Arlington, Texas. Go ahead, Train. How did those Bears do?
Wow, man. My motto the whole draft has been "In Emery We Trust." Cause we don't know. This is his first time being a GM, so there's no history of how he drafts or what he looks for. I mean, all I read is that the guy takes calculated risks. But as far as the players he selected, really, I'm only high on the first two. We needed help at pass rush. We needed someone opposite of Julius Peppers. They went and got Shea McClain from Boise State. And, I mean, I think it kind of wowed people in the draft. No one expected him to pick him, especially with some of the other guys that were still up there that some people had rated higher. But I just went and looked at the film on him, and dude is just a football player. That's the only thing that excites me about him is he's a football player. Now, he wasn't one of the flashy names, but when you look at the film, the dude is around the ball. And that's all that matters, is when the ball is snapped, where's your defensive player? Dude is around the ball consistently, every single play. He was graded as someone who would be more suited for the 3-4. But he played his whole, you know, he played most of his college career on the line, on a 4-man front. So he knows how to come off the end. He knows how to rush the passer. So I'm excited about dude. Then they turn around and got they. Finally, someone says that Jay Cutler needs some targets. More than just going to get Brandon Marshall, they went and got Alshon Jeffery. So I think this huge dude is a leaper, and I hope he turns into a beast being in Chicago and being able to leap over. I mean, because the average height of DBs is what, 5'10", 5'11 in the league. So it kind of helps us out in the red zone to have that guy. I mean, he didn't have a really productive senior year, but he had a tremendously productive previous year. And, you know, I think the only difference was that he just had half the yards, but he still had pretty much the same amount of touchdowns and you know, it was a few less catches. But, I mean, dude is a beast of a receiver. So I'm really only happy about, you know, excited about the first two picks. The rest of them, I think they brought in, you know, got a free safety third round, brought in for competition. To push Major Wright, who keeps playing like Major Wrong. I mean, who gets shook by Brandon Jacobs? I don't know. So hopefully, this free safety they got, 6'3", 200 something pounds. Hopefully, he can stand his ground and maybe take better angles than Major Wright did. Then they went got a tight end, supposed to be a pass catching tight end. And they finished off with a couple cornerbacks, which we lost two cornerbacks on special teams. So I assume that's where those guys will start out at. So overall, it's pretty much just a wait and see. I just want this guy to do better than Angelo and freaking draft some ball players. Draft some rookies that will contribute their first year. Not wait to contribute their second year, no, their first year. So hopefully you see Alshon Jeffries and Shea McClain on the field a whole lot come this next season.
Sounds good. Let's go to the phones. We have a call, and we are going to go to the 909 area code. 909 area code. You are live on the Madden Voice.
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Big NFL fan, big sports fan, and just want to let you guys know I enjoy the show a lot. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, well, thank you.
No problem. I have two questions for you. I have a couple of teams in the NFL. First of all, what do you guys think in regards of this of the Baltimore Ravens? I think, you know, they did okay, solid. I don't think it was the greatest of all, but, you know, any possible chance they could get something done, like a little bit more better they could have done?
K-Star, you have any thoughts on the Ravens draft? I actually thought they had a pretty decent draft. And I'm pulling them up now because I remember looking at it during the draft, and I was like, wow. Hold on here. I'm going to grab the Ravens as we speak. Yeah, I mean, they got Upshaw, which, I mean, for their scheme, I mean, I don't know that they could have did better for their scheme. Looking around, they picked up a guard. They picked up a running back, safety. I mean, they went pretty defense heavy. And, you know, could they have done better? I mean, well, let me turn that around. You're a Ravens fan. Was there someone you had targeted that you wish they had went out and got?
A couple of people really came to mind. I personally feel that we could have done better on defensively. I mean, I'm a little, you know, disappointed with the defensive draft picks at all. There was hardly anything that was done, but still, I would have picked in, like, you know, maybe in that round that we got, I believe it was the fourth, we could have at least maybe have gotten a decent linebacker that could definitely tackle.
You don't think Upshaw?
Right now, Courtney Upshaw, I thought was a pretty good pick. I hate the Ravens from Alabama.
Yeah, I know. You're a Steelers fan. I know you don't like the Ravens.
But they're pretty good. I mean, I don't know. Look, you got to remember the Ravens didn't have a first-round draft pick, which was awesome, because I believe they traded down. And they still got Courtney Upshaw, which is who I believe they targeted. You know, they didn't get – I figured they should have drafted the safety a little bit higher than what they did because Ed Reed, you know, this is probably his last year. He needs to be addressed. And, again, I'm also very shocked, like, as you are, that they didn't draft a linebacker because they, you know, have some age – that linebacking court, but I don't know. The Ravens usually a pretty good drafting team, so I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it, but I would say that the lack of linebacker depth from this draft that they refused to select is a little questionable because, again, Ray Lewis isn't getting any younger. Terrell Suggs, I believe they lost Kruger in the offseason as well to free agency to some team. So that would concern me if I were a Ravens fan, but again, I guess in this situation, you kind of got to trust your organization, just hope for the best because they've proven to be pretty good in the draft.
Well, I mean, Suggs still got some time left. Ray's getting up there.
Yeah,
but both
Suggs got some time left, but Ray.
And both these guys went to the Pro Bowl last year, so, I mean, let's not put Ray Lewis in the ground just yet. He's still playing on the Pro Bowl level, and the fact that they went out and got, you know, first-round Courtney Upshaw, I mean, I you know, that guy's going to be a monster. And I think he could be the heir apparent, you know, when Ray Lewis does finally call it quits. So maybe they don't have quite the amount of depth, but, you know, I mean, how many, you know, were they going to take? You know, they took linebacker in the first round, took a guard in the second round. They're still going to need a center, you know. So maybe the guard they took, maybe there's a possibility that they could make him a guard center. I don't know. Ed Reed, yeah, I kind of see that. You know, he was not quite the dominant safety that he's been last year. So it would have been maybe they should have went safety second round or third round. I don't know. But, you know, you're right. I think the Ravens overall, Ozzie Newsome does a great job with the draft from year to year. So got to kind of have a little faith in the team.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say they have done – pretty decent in the draft and making sure they got players that were, you know, able to contribute that first year with in some fashion or form. And you got to consider the draft wasn't very deep at linebacker and it wasn't very deep at safety. So by the time it comes your pick, you don't want to reach to get a guy when you can actually fill in another need. So I think that's pretty much how a lot of the teams ended up in the draft. The guy wasn't there. You got to go with the highest grade, you know, on their grade sheet as far as the prospects that they do consider.
Right. Caller, you had another team you wanted to bounce around?
Yeah, what if do you think in the discussion for like top three teams that did really good? Do you think one of those top three teams would be Tampa Bay?
Yes. Absolutely.
As far as what? The draft, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got Barron now. They needed a safety real bad. That was a really big pickup for them. You know, they had a pretty – the Bucs should be an interesting team to watch next year with the Saints in parallel and then acquiring, you know, Vincent Jackson, and I believe they got the guard Knicks and everything in the offseason as well, and, you know, drafting Barron. They're doing a lot of, you know, really cool things, or really big things for them. So they're pretty definitely putting themselves in a very good position. I like the Panthers draft as well. They got a linebacker very early, which they need to address. They're trying to shore up that run defense. I was 32nd in the league last year. So I think NFC South will be an awesome division to watch because of the uncertainty with the Saints and just the young talent that's out there in the NFC South with the Panthers and Bucks especially.
This is the crazy thing about the Bucks. Because of how they did, not last year, but the previous year, then they kind of fell off. Then if you take what they did, free agency, and take what they did in the draft, also add on the fact that the Saints organization has been crippled, they can literally go from worst to first in their division within a season. It's crazy. But they actually have the pieces to do it. Josh Freeman is, you know, he's not a rookie quarterback anymore. You know what I'm saying? He's somewhat leaning towards the veteran. So they actually have the pieces to end up going from worst to first in their division if you put in all of that in the equation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Doug Martin, I think, is going to be a solid running back.
Yeah,
for them.
As well. I think that's
a solid pick. The only thing I question, but you know, when I researched it, you know, when they went down to 7, and Cowboys jumped in and got Claiborne, they then said that they wanted Barron all along. Which, all right, I have no reason to doubt that. So if that's who they wanted, then great move, and they got Barron and picked up another pick, but. If Barron, you know, and it has been mixed reviews on Barron. I mean, Cowboys were, a lot of mock drafts had the Cowboys taking Barron at 14, and but it was the last maybe week before the draft, Barron's stock really rose, but there was still a lot of mixed reviews on him. And if he is what the people that like him say he's going to be, you know, an Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu type, you know, ball hawking safety, then I think they'll be. I think their draft will be a very good one. And like Train said, with combination of their free agency moves, at least you got to give them credit. They knew that they were in trouble after the last year and after the way they just fell apart. And they made some strong moves in the draft and in free agency to really try to put a team together. And so the potential is there. Now we just got to see if it comes out on the field or not.
Yeah, very young team. Again, they still have LeGarrette Blount. They still have help now from Mike Williams with Vincent Jackson. You know, they've got a lot of things going for them. They had that DT they drafted a couple of years ago behind the Donovan Sue. I can't think of his name right now. I think it's McCoy, Jared McCoy. So, you know, they got a lot of good things going for them. It should be very interesting to see how they bounce back like everyone seems to expect they will this year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, any other thoughts? Any other questions?
Actually, no, that's all, guys, except, you know, keep on up the great work, and I can guarantee you all, you will be just fine. And, you know, I think you're should be in competition, maybe possibly for first place, for best sports talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, we appreciate that.
We appreciate
it. Appreciate that. Hey, guys,
thank you
very much
for my call, though, and thank you very much for answering my questions. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling, and we appreciate it. You know, and first of all, I want to thank the caller and for the very kind words. And let me just take a minute and say that, I haven't had a chance to talk to Train or K-Star, but the numbers that I've seen have dramatically increased. And I think it's a tribute to the loyalty of the people out there listening. I think it's a tribute to the work that Train and K-Star do, you know, to help make the show great. Because I'm the constant, you know what I'm saying? I'm the guy that's been here all along. So if the numbers are increasing, I have to give credit to Train and K-Star and what's going on. And so we appreciate the support. I know that a lot of we do get some live listeners, but a lot of people are podcasting us and listening to us on podcasts. And I just want to say to everybody out there, we appreciate it, particularly appreciate that comment, and you know, tell your friends, spread the word, you know, let's go ahead and make this the number one sports talk radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go ahead and do it, you know. Let's not sing it, let's bring it. So appreciate that. All right so let's move on. We can revisit the draft if we need to, but let's move on. We spent, you know, almost an hour in the draft. So NFL Network just released their top 100 players of 2012. And I'll be honest to say that I did not go through the entire list. But I do
really
have to
the whole list. I thought they're doing week by week.
Oh, they didn't do the. Oh, okay, good. Then that's why I couldn't.
No, they did 100 through 90. 100 through 91, I believe.
Okay.
They're doing week by
week.
That's special.
Okay, excellent. Then that answers that question because I only found that. And I'm like, where's the whole list at? But gotcha, great, excellent. So I have a problem, and I guess people would expect me to have a problem, but I have a huge problem. Now I want people to understand that. Tim Tebow is ranked at number 95, and Mark Sanchez reportedly is not on the top 100 list. Okay? So, you guys, you know, people out there, think about that for a minute. Tim Tebow, 95. Backup quarterback, right? Mark Sanchez, not on the list. Not, just let that marinate. Tony Romo. Tony Romo, 91. Tony Romo, arguably, the top quarterback rating outside of Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers, 102.9. The best statistical year of his career. And clearly, not the reason why the Cowboys at 8-8 didn't make it to the playoffs. And if people want to question that, just look at the draft. 5 out of 7 players, defensive players. Okay? So I don't get it. And I don't understand why my man is getting so much disrespect. It's been 7 years, 6 years, whatever, since the fumble in Seattle. Let it go. Let it go. He threw a pick on a 4th-down throw against the Giants when the Giants went and won the Super Bowl. So the Cowboys lost to the Giants, but so did the undefeated New England Patriots. And for some reason, Romo's a choke artist. Yet that same team went and beat the undefeated Patriots in the 07 Super Bowl. I don't get it. 91? Okay, maybe he's not top 10. I got no problem with that. Depending on if you're judging players, I'm okay with that. 91? So you mean to tell me there are 90 better players in the NFL right now? Better than Tony Romo in a quarterback-driven league? In a league that we saw how many 5,000-yard passers last year? Matthew Stafford passes for 5,000 yards? I mean, and Tony Romo, who did go over 4,000, is 91? And Tim Tebow is 95? Tim Tebow threw for 47% is 95?
I'm surprised you made the list. I wasn't expecting that. I'm surprised
people
made that list.
I agree.
I think
and
it's
you
awesome.
But you know who's 92? John Kuhn, fullback for the Packers. He's 92. Fullback.
Really?
I mean,
well,
I don't.
I'll say this: the players themselves, the only people who vote on this is the players.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's true or more accurate, but. You know, who knows? The players vote on it. I enjoy the series personally. I wasn't able to catch it because I was out of town. Last year I thought it was great. It was phenomenal. Troy Palmer was 6th last year, and that made me happy. You know, he should have been top 5. No big deal at the time. But I do really like the list. 91, I think, is way too low for Romo. He should at least be in the top 50, I would think. And that's a lot of respect right there. I just gave from Romo, so please acknowledge that, T. But anyway, 91, yeah.
I love you, K-Star.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 91, that's bad. I totally disagree with that. He should be much higher than 91. That's a joke.
I
think people just don't like – I think that a lot of that is though people just don't like – even I guess players just don't like Tony Romo for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he's too much talk about him. But I think that actually might be a whole jealousy thing right there. I don't know what that's about. 91, I think that might be a Cowboy thing. And he just has haters. I mean – that's bad. Not 91. I don't know about that.
Let me tell you, T. Outside of this show, I do have a couple of people that are Cowboy fans, and they are not as adamant about Tony Romo as you are. They're not as, you know, excited about him. Nowhere near. So I stay having to defend this man because honestly, he is not. He's really not a bad. He's nowhere near a bad quarterback. He's actually very good.
and plays, and has gotten better each year. You know, everybody keeps, every time I talk to somebody, they keep talking about, but it's been such and such amount of years. Sometimes it just takes time. But he hasn't gotten worse. He's gotten better. And he's gotten better to the point where it was so clear last year that he was not even the issue. And it's so evident even by, like you said, by the Cowboys draft. But, man, to only make him four spots above Tim Tebow, who I honestly don't think to be on the list. I clearly do think there's 100 other players in the NFL that are better than him.
You know, all I'll say is this. I hear it all the time, Cowboy fans, they don't want Tony Romo. And I always say, who do you want? Tell me who you want. If you don't want Romo, tell me who you want. You're not going to get Tom Brady. You're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to, well, maybe you can get Drew Brees. But let's just say those three guys you're not getting. So who do you want? You want Eli Manning? Really? I mean, okay, he's got two Super Bowl rings. I'll give him that.
The Giants got two Super Bowl rings. That's what that
Thank
is.
You. Okay? I mean, and I'll even throw Peyton in there, even though he didn't play last year. But I'll put Peyton up there with these guys because – he's one of the all-time greats, okay? So, yes, and Peyton was on the market, and I had not an ounce of interest in getting into Dallas. Now, had Dallas win did that, man, what a show we would have had. But I had absolutely no thoughts about him coming to Dallas, absolutely none, because I'm very happy with how Tony Romo was playing and how he fits into the team, and his mobility is something Manning doesn't have. And to be honest with you, in the NFC East, you need that. You need that mobility. And Peyton Manning doesn't have not that I have anything. I think Peyton Manning's great, and I think they have a great season. And look out Denver. I mean, Denver's going to be something to play. But for the Cowboys, we need mobility. We've had statue quarterbacks, and it didn't work. The way our schemes are, the way we operate, you know, we need that mobile quarterback, and that's what Romo brings. People have to remember, Dallas Cowboy fans, if you're out there listening to me, T-Bonics Part 3. Just think about the quarterbacks we had before Romo. Vinny Testaverde at 39 years old, Rob Johnson, Drew Bledsoe on downside, Chad Hutchinson, a former baseball player, Drew Henson, a former baseball player, Quincy Carter, a former baseball player and a marijuana head. I mean, really, you know, look at the quarterbacks that we have, and you get Romo, who, by the way, just so everybody understands, was an undrafted free agent, as was Miles Austin, signed by Bill Parcells. And the guy comes in and becomes the face of your franchise and is a franchise quarterback, and you have a problem with his performance when he has broken just about every record that Staubach and Aikman and Danny White put up. The Cowboys are the problem, not Romo. The team is the problem, not Romo. That's all I'm going to say.
He shouldn't be much higher, but I'll still say this. Romo, still, he does need to perform at the end of those games. He needs to close the games out. I think he will. He's been in the league for a while now. I think eventually, you know.
It's not his fault. He closed the game. We had five games this year, fourth quarter, double-digit leads. It's not his fault that the defense allows the team to come down and score. The Cowboys in position to win five games, double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. I know what happened in the Jets, okay, and Detroit. I know what happened, okay, and I'm not excusing those two games, but that's two games. The defense was the overall problem, and their inability to stop anybody in the fourth quarter. We saw it against the Giants. We saw it repeatedly. That was the problem. It was not Tony Romo. It wasn't, okay,
well,
and that's all I'm trying
addressed,
to
say. The Cowboys addressed those issues in the draft and free agency, so – this year should be very, I believe, telling for Romo and the Cowboys.
Okay. I agree. All right. K-Star, you are up. You need to give us, you know, the highlights of what you
want to share. The Madden
recap. The Madden minute, maybe two, for K-Star to talk about the big money Madden challenge that went on in New York this weekend. You're on.
All right. So, first and foremost, I just want to give a big shout-out to Virgin Gaming and EA Sports for putting this together. It was an incredible venue, an incredible day. Pretty much, I would say, the highlight of Madden. It was that well put together. They did a tremendous job. You know, that was the most money ever put out there in Madden history for a tournament. You know, beautiful women walking around, beautiful referees, you know, free drinks and everything. It was just a lot of fun. There's two different floors. There's all kinds of great things going on in that tournament. It was tremendous. And the cool thing about it was a lot of people walked away with money. You know, if you won one game, you won about $500. So it was very cool. It was very fun. Now, Tyronto, a lot of people are unfamiliar with him. He lives in the Detroit, Michigan area. He's actually was tutored by Truth to get to where he is today. A lot of people did not at all, myself included, expect Tyronto to win the event. It was very much a shock. And unfortunately, VG did a wonderful job, but I would be ill-informed to not speak on this. VG, one thing that helped Tyronto win was the fact of the matter, he actually lost his very first game of the day. And it was a single elimination tournament. Now, a lot of people lost their first game of the day, but what happened was because there wasn't the 500 or so people there for Madden, there's about 400, so they had some open spots. They didn't want buys to happen for, obviously, you know, they're giving out money. They don't just want to give away free money. They had to refill those spots, so they let quite a few people who lost the first game back into it via raffle. And because of that, Tyronto was given a second chance, and he made the most of it. And it was interesting because I actually told him, I was like, I don't agree with you being in the tournament still, but you are here. And this is when I was still in it. I said, you better make the most of your opportunity because you're definitely a very lucky man. And sure enough, he did that. So you got to give him credit. I can't get mad at Tyronto at all. He did what anyone else would have done. And obviously, he rejoined the tournament. Who wouldn't in that situation? But it was great. It was a wonderful tournament. Myself, personally, I won my first five games, so I was in the final 16. I actually placed ninth overall because my point differential was pretty outlandish. My first game, I won 68-7. My second game was 49-21. I played, you're probably familiar with him, T. I played JBev. I believe he's
the
NFL guy. Yeah, I played JBev. And that was actually a good game. I was actually up 21-0 at his 3-yard line, but he stopped me at inches. And he actually tied the game up at 21 at one point, but eventually I just adjusted and played really well. But anyway, I got to my third game was rough, and I'm going to tell you why. I had a big problem with the players coming back into the tournament, and the guy who had to play in the third round came back in the tournament, and I had three fumbles against this man. Luckily, I still won the game, but it took me a crazy comeback for me to win this game because I went down, I believe, 35, 31 or something like that with about 30 seconds left. No timeouts. I came back and won the game. I just had two incredible plays down the field on him. But three fumbles in a Madden game with all that money on the line, that is not cool at all, John Madden. I don't appreciate you trying to stick me like the way you did. Honestly, I felt like you was trying to rob me, like I just did something wrong that day. I don't know what I did, but Madden tried to rape me in that game, and that was not cool at all. So, Madden, I just want you to know that if you ever tried something like that to me at that time, I'm just worth having more problems than what we have now. But nonetheless, I finished in the final 16. I lost to a guy named Special K who had a great offense. I couldn't stop him. You know, props to him. Unfortunately, the game was tied with my ball, and I ended up fumbling to him. But that's not a really excuse considering that I couldn't really stop him at all. It was bad. He had a really great offense. So, again, I finished in the top 10. You know, which I still got about about $2,000 or so. That should be coming in the next couple of days. So I can't get too mad. And the cool thing about the tournament was even when you lost, you didn't – like, it sucked. Don't get me wrong. I was pretty upset. But there was so much going on at the tournament. You know, there was concerts going on. There was just so many distractions that it ended up, you know, not really just being as painful of a loss as you would imagine at that point in time because there was just so much going on, a lot of excitement. And apparently Virgin Games is doing it again next year. They might do it a few times next year. And apparently the prize pool is only going to get bigger. And they're going to take them out a $1 million payout next year, which is ridiculous. That's what the owner said of Virgin Gaming. There's going to be a $1 million Madden champion next year. It's getting bigger, and I'm really excited because that place was packed. That place was packed. It was wall-to-wall in there. It was just awesome. It was awesome. I didn't really think I would ever see a Madden event like that, but it came to fruition. Apparently it's going to get bigger, so I'm very excited for the future of Madden, which we all thought at one point was dwindling down, and it's actually just getting bigger, so pretty excited. There's a lot of new faces out there, made a lot of noise, so let's get it.
You know, I mean, first of all, congratulations for finishing in the top 10 and, you know, doing a great job and, you know, much respect for you. And you know, I'm glad to hear that a former EAFL alum, Jay Bev, who always had a lot of respect for, you know, even though, you know, he played for different crews and all of this. But, I mean, he got a start from the EAFL, and it's nice that I can look at a guy that got a start from our league and see them playing on the national level and making a little bit of noise, you know, so that makes me feel good. And, you know, I, to be honest with you, I thought about logging in and just seeing and following things and seeing, you know, who, what names are, and, you know, but I didn't. I figured I'd just get the recap with you, and I appreciate that. I, from a business standpoint, and considering how involved with tournaments that I was through MLG and all of that, and my close relationship I've had with some of the tournament directors, Bobby Storm, T-Boy, you know, Philly Ron, and Coach Chris, and all these guys, you have to wonder what Virgin Gaming saw that other entities didn't see, including EA Sports, because they stopped doing the Madden Challenge, and why they're being successful and actually committing for even more money, where MLG, who was a gaming organization, this is what they did, failed miserably. You know, I'd love to have this conversation with a higher up at Virgin Gaming, just for my own edification as a businessman, and just understand, you know, why, you know, and it's great. It's great for the Madden community. I'm happy for the Madden community. But I'd like to know behind the scenes, like, what made you grab onto this gaming entity with all of the shooting games out there and all the other stuff that's grabbing people's attention, the Halos and you know, Modern Warfare and all that stuff that's grabbing everybody's attention. What made you gravitate to Madden like this and then put so much money into it? And now you're saying even more. It's amazing, and I'm very, very happy that in my, you know, now that I'm not completely out of it, but that it's going on to new levels, and that's great. And you know what? I'll say this. Never know what the future's going to bring. That's all I'm going to say. Leave it alone for now. All right. Thanks for the Madden report. Next topic, and arguably might be the last topic. We might have a short show tonight, everybody. You know, this one was a Train topic, so I'm going to let Train be the first one to talk about it. We had it on last show, but we didn't get to it. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Before we get to that topic, real quick, just want to get you guys' feedback on, you know, that since we're just talking Madden, and Madden this year made it fans voted on the cover athlete, and Calvin Johnson, congratulations, or maybe not, is the cover athlete for Madden 2013. And you know, Train, what, you know, what do you think, Calvin Johnson? Good pick, bad pick?
No, I think that is awesome, man. I mean, dude played, you know, he's the one trick pony of the league last year, man. I think that is awesome. There's any validity to the bad case, man. Madden Curry, that is great, dude. I have no problems with it whatsoever because I want to see Cam Newton play. I thought that was exciting. So, you know, not seeing Calvin Johnson as much, you know, I don't mind that at all. But seriously, I don't think that was a bad choice at all. I
mean, he's always a bear. Well, he's always a bear, guys. Always a bear. And I ain't mad at him. K-Star, what are your thoughts?
Calvin Johnson's an awesome choice. Honestly, you couldn't go wrong, Cam Newton or Calvin Johnson. We're going to get an awesome Madden cover athlete. I hope there's no Madden curse for Calvin Johnson because I enjoy watching him play. I don't have any NFC North allegiances anyway, so whatever. But, yeah, he's a great candidate for the Madden cover. He's a wonderful player to use in Madden. Calvin Johnson's one of the top five players in the game, so that's really cool. And I'm looking forward to it. It should be an offensive game you would expect with Calvin Johnson being on the cover. So, again, I'm excited. Congratulations maybe to Calvin Johnson. But if there's anyone who you think could possibly break the Madden curse, it might be Calvin because he's such a big guy, but chances are, and hopefully he doesn't, he'll probably break his ankle. So,
you know, I will say this. I think as a player, it was a good pick. Obviously, you know, he was a beast, and we felt it in Dallas. I mean, he was a beast. But here's my only problem with the pick. When it came down to him and Cam, I really thought Cam was going to win. I just think that when you're looking at a cover athlete, than a guy who's representing a game. Yes, you certainly want a guy that's performing on the field, and both these guys perform on the field. There's no doubt about it. Megatron's a beast, and I'm not. Don't ever take what I'm saying to mean that the guy can't play. The guy can play the game. He's incredible. I mean, I take him the second in Dallas. He's incredible. That said, what I think he's lacking a little bit is that charisma. I don't get that from him. When I see him interviewed, he's kind of a quiet guy. Well, that's okay, but I don't get that charisma. He doesn't have that Cam Newton charisma. Cam Newton is just, he's magical. I mean, he even did a little video, you know, and vote me and all of that. I thought it was cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I just felt like I at that point would have preferred Cam just for charisma and leadership skills that he brings to the table that I haven't seen. Not saying that Calvin Johnson doesn't have it. I haven't seen it. And maybe it's just a position. Maybe it's just a quarterback versus a wide receiver, and, you know, quarterback's pretty much considered the leader of the team. So, you know, and wide receivers, you know, they're doing their job. But I think that was the only thing that I would have liked. But other than that, I think it's a great pick. I think it's a great pick. All right. So last segment, we're going to start with Train. The question on the table is, should the Saints players be penalized? We already know that general managers, was he gone for half the year? The coach gone for the year, and Greg Williams, who's now with the Rams, suspended indefinitely. So we already know that there's punishments in the front office. We've heard the audio tape from Greg Williams and the things that he said, and they were disturbing at best. So the question that Train is putting out there is, should the players be penalized for the bounty? Train, I'm going to let you go ahead and go.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it keeps going out.
I'm sorry?
Okay, it's there. No, my headset keeps going out, so I'm like, losing you guys. What's the last thing you said, though? Sorry.
Should the Saints players be penalized for the bounty? You're up.
Okay. Once again, dude, you keep giving me this segment, and I was like, man, what the heck am I going to talk about that's very, very opinionated? But anyway, I had two topics. You chose this one. So I thought this one came to me at the end because I went to look back at what we missed last week that I had on there, and I saw this one. I was like, hey, let's discuss this. And I kind of chose this for myself because I'm pulled in two different ways. I mean, on one hand, football players supposed to know the rules, supposed to have a certain standard in which they play, supposed to have a certain respect for, you know, teammates as well as competition. So here you are, you have these guys. They're inside their room. They're planning for the week, and their coach is telling them to go after injuries. Now, you've been told your whole football career, you know, follow your coach. Everyone knows there comes a time in life where chain of command, where sometimes you should not follow your chain of command. You got to be your own judgment. So part of me is like, come on, as players, you have to see this as, man, this is wrong. You know, we shouldn't be going after these guys' injuries. These guys got careers, they have lives, they have to feed their families the same way I have to feed my family. But now, on the other end, here you are, you know, if you're not following the chain of command, then you're the odd man out in the defensive room because everybody else, you know, they're biting at the bit to get these players. They're motivated by what Greg Williams is telling them. They're ready to get on the field and take somebody's head off. And, you know, should you really be penalized for doing what you were for following your leader? Should you really be penalized for doing what you were told? Or should you be penalized basically based on the fact that you should know better? You should know better as a player. You should have much respect for the game and for your competition to not go after injuries during the game. So that was my reason for picking this topic. Now,
it's a great topic. It's a great topic. Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about the validity of the topic. It's a great topic.
Yes. Well, and to answer the question, I struggle with it a bit. I'm going to say yes, because these are not boys. This is not high school football. This is not Pee Wee League football.
you're grown men. So you understand that there is a business aspect to this game. That simply put, when a player goes out for injury, there is no 100% guarantee that this guy will return the same way he played before, or even possibly get better. He may not even return at all. So, you know, with all other things that have already happened to this team, I'm sorry to say the players should also be held responsible, because you're grown enough to decide whether something is right or wrong and to know whether or not to follow someone who has malicious intent. You wouldn't want anybody going after your team in that manner, I wouldn't think. So, you know, as respectful football players that have some kind of respect for the game, some kind of respect for the fact that the fans want to see good players. I mean, we don't relish in people getting taken out of the game. I don't want to watch the New England Patriots game without Tom Brady. That's boring. You know, I don't want to watch the Dallas Cowboys game without Tony Romo. That's boring. You know what I'm saying? I can't even talk about him, talk bad about him later if he mess up. But in either case, you know, I want to watch the game with the superstars. And here they are set to go out the superstars. So, yes, from the standpoint, I think from that standpoint alone, they should be held responsible.
I'm gonna get right to the point with my answer. I don't agree. I think that because there was a bounty and there was an incentive, doesn't mean that if you know that Tony Romo has bad ribs, that you're not going after his ribs. I think it's part of the game. And if they put him out there on the field, then you're saying as long as the hit is legal, he's fair game. The bounty set up to me, the fact that the coaches knew about it and encouraged it was the problem. These guys are going to play, and they're going to play to win. And if you know that that guy's hurt, whether you're going to get $1,000 for hitting them or not, you're going after that injury. You're going after it. That's just the part of the game. It's the way it is. And I don't think it's their fault that there was an added incentive set up by the team. I don't think it's their fault. How do you determine if somebody actually, if that was their motivation or not? Ray Lewis plays at 100 miles an hour, but he's considered a clean player, okay? But that guy will hit you and knock you in the next week. So now if we found out there was a bounty system, now all of a sudden are we going to question the integrity of his hits? If it wasn't flagged on the field, then the refs are saying it's within bounds. Now we're saying it's out of bounds because the guy could have got another $1,000 for it. Now it's out of bounds. I don't think that's fair. I think what's fair is the coaches and the administration of the team should not be setting up incentives for guys to go out and earn dinner money or gas money to do this. That, to me, is ridiculous. What we heard Greg Williams talk about was ridiculous. And I'm very disappointed in Sean Payton because I have a ton of respect for him. You know, came through Dallas. He's very good with Dallas. Quarterback coach and then became assistant head coach before he went to the Saints. So I got a lot of love for Sean Payton. But there's no excuse for this. To me, the issue is respecting the game starts with the guys on the sideline that's directing this game. Starts with the front office. You set the standard, not the guys on the field. You're setting the standard. You're setting the tone for your team. Those are my thoughts. K-Star?
Yeah, I agree with you. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, when you go to class and everything, you're instructed to do your homework, you want to do it the way to which you're instructed, otherwise you didn't follow the directions. And what the Saints players did was follow the instructions and directions of their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. For me, if Jonathan Villain, for instance, is you know, suspended or fined more than just maybe four games, there's a huge problem because you know, what is he to do? What are these players to do in this situation? Be insubordinate? I mean, then you have fines within the organization and even more, you know, issues at that point in time. So, again, this is following the leader in my situation or in my opinion. And I just don't know how you recklessly suspend and fine these players a large sum of money when, maybe ethically they knew it was wrong, but what were they to really do? You know, I mean, what if you're tied a certain way, if you're brought up a certain way, you know, chances are you're going to act and do, you know, what's followed. And I just see it as no different for the Saints players, and I'm not sure how you can really, again, reprimand them for, if anything, that would be insubordinate if they, you know, hadn't. So, again, this to me is just an organizational coaching front office type thing. Again, it's murky waters to find the players and suspend them. I'm not sure how you can go about doing that and what the process entails as far as that goes anyway. So I agree with T.
I think that's why it's been such a long process to decide what to do with it.
Yeah,
because of the
still no decision.
It's and it's supposed to be one soon. But see, that kind of leads me back to when I was listening to the tape, and I brought up, and T, you remember, I brought up the question at the end of our last segment about this. I was like, you know, was he instructing them to go out after the players, or was he just making them aware of the injury? Now, I do agree with you that, you know, if you're aware that a quarterback has hurt ribs, you want to hit him as many times as possible because you want him to feel it every single time.
Hmm.
You know, especially if a team puts him out there. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say malicious intent to try to just take him out of the game, but you want to make him aware, hey, you're going to play with that injury, bro. You got to be able to take the hits that's going to keep coming because we're going to make it a long night for you. So I do agree with you from that standpoint, but that's the reason why I brought the question at the end of the last seven was, you know, was he just making him aware of the injury? That's making them aware, then that's a different aspect than telling them to go after the injury.
Mm. Yeah, well, and I, you know, and this is not something that I feel strongly either way. I think it'd be interesting to see what Goodell, who's been a pretty firm commissioner, it would be interesting to see what he comes up with, and then we can revisit it. But, yeah, it's a great topic. Just a couple things of note. Matt Leiner is now a Oakland Raider. Matt Leinart's an Oakland Raider. And this one kind of surprises me. Jacoby Jones was released by the Texans. I know that he I think he muffed a punt or something in the
Raiders game or something like that.
But I mean, dude's pretty good.
I think with Jacoby Jones, I think the team was trying to wait on this guy to break out, and it's not. And he's had opportunities to break out, especially with Andre Johnson being gone for the majority of the season. And I think they were just ready to move past him. I mean, he is a very good kick punt returner.
Yeah, he is.
I think they were just waiting for him to break out at the wide receiver position, and he just never did. Even with the opportunity that he had, he just never turned the corner on that, and they're just ready to move past it.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him with a star on his helmet since he's already in the state of Texas. So,
y'all got some room. Y'all got some room. You got Laurent Robinson. Who do they have third after Bryant and
Nobody.
Austin?
Nobody.
That's a possibility there.
Yeah, no. They have the same people they've always had. I mean, they got Raymond Radway, who had a lot of promise and then got hurt. As far as proven, they don't have anybody proven. Ogletree's still on the roster. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not excited about the number three wide receiver right now for Dallas. But, you know, when you have Jason Witten, when you have Felix Jones behind DeMarco Murray, so you have Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, and DeMarco Murray, you know, and Felix Jones, I think we're still stacked. You know, whether or not the third wide receiver is another Robinson or not, I think we're still looking pretty good, so I'm not worried about it. So that's all we have for tonight. K-Star, any final thoughts?
Just that I'm very excited for the Steelers draft because, again, we'll be able to finally see what Big Ben can do behind actually a good offensive line. So I'm very excited for the Steelers season. And like I said before, we get this thing right. I told you to come see me after the draft. You can see me now. We'll be just fine. We're in the AFC North next year. We got Big Ben staying upright. It is what it is. Steelers, baby, all day.
Train, final thoughts.
Man, the next time we come on air,
which will probably be close to the start of the season. I will officially be Dr. Train. I have so many folks coming down this weekend. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome weekend. I can't wait.
Oh, you don't get to – wait. We're not taking the summer off, man. It's the Madden voice, man. We got OTAs. Yeah, man. We'll be back sooner than that, bro.
But it still feels the next time I come on, I'll officially be Dr. Train, like officially. Right. Doctor, I can't wait for my. I call it 3 minutes of fame when you get up on the stage and they pronounce your name, Dr. Mackenzie McNeil III. So I'm super excited about that. But I'm a little even more excited, you know, just from the caller. I just like to say thank you to that caller that came on just for the kind words to the Madden voice, because I didn't know what to expect when T asked me to be on this show, and to see it just keep growing and know that we got that many people listening to us, and we're just regular people who work every day and just love to talk about football. It kind of makes it all worthwhile. So, hey, thank you to all our listeners.
I'm going to piggyback Train real quick and say, you know, there's so many options for people out there to listen. And, you know, we are not former players. We are not former coaches. We are not professional sports writers. We are fans just like most of you. So we come at it from an angle that you can appreciate because we're just like you. We're fans that really love our teams, that really love the NFL. And maybe we don't know all the schemes like they do. Maybe we don't know, you know, the playbook and all the techniques and all the lingo. Hey, we're fans. But we know good football and we know bad football. And so you tell your friends, if you want a real show to listen to that you can relate to with guys that talk about the game, just like you talk about the game, check out the Madden Voice, because that's what we're here for. We're not going anywhere. When will we be back on the air? To be honest with you, I don't know. We want to keep an eye on what's going on. You know, I'd say we need to probably do another show in the next few weeks. Maybe beginning of June we'll come back on, see what's going on in the NFL, see what's going on, with the teams and the signings and all of that. But all you have to do is check out themaddenvoice.com or check out the Madden Voice on Facebook and to get all your updates. And I want K-Star to post that interview that he did on the Madden Voice. I don't get it. He got an interview with VG, with Virgin Gaming. He got an interview. And you post it on your Facebook page and you don't put it on the Madden Voice? Are you kidding me? The Madden Voice? The show that you co-host?
Totally right
on? Yeah, holy cow, man. Put that interview up there, my brother. What you waiting on, man? Woo! If you guys want to see the interview of K-Star with Virgin Gaming, finalist in the Madden Challenge, go to the Madden Voice on Facebook and check out the interview of our very own K-Star, who finished in the top 10, one of the all-time greatest Madden players of all time. So with that said, I want to thank K-Star. I want to thank Dr. Train, and I want to thank all the listeners out there for being so loyal to us and doing what you do. We appreciate it. We love you guys. We're going to be here for you. Get ready. Football season is going to be here for you know it. 5 months and counting. The Madden Voice, where all feuds are settled on the field. Good night.